The name of the Lord. He often falls. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not care.
amen and amen and amen. We take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's sing number 406, I'm in that number. And I'd ask you, are you in that number? Do you know that you're in that number? You have a confidence in God? If you're not there, take it to Him in prayer. We've just sung about it. I'm in that number. I'm in that number. I'm in that number. God said, yes, I know you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me. He saw him. God bless him for that. God bless the Lord for that. Let's just talk to our Lord. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Lord, you have your purposed people here, there, and everywhere, Lord. It's not just a maybe situation. You have a plan. And everything will be done according to the Word of God. And nothing is going to alter. Not a thing. And if our name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, as all your sons and daughters have been, they will be there. We thank you, Lord, that you just walk with us along our walk, wherever we are, with whatever we say or do or think you are there, Lord, and we're so very grateful, Lord, for that. Lord, we thank you for being here this morning. We welcome you in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, your name, Lord, in whose name we worship. We love you. We lift you up. We know, Lord, that your Holy Spirit can just lift us out of that doldrum that we may be in. All we need to do is ask and believe that it's going to happen. We love you, Lord. We ask a blessing upon those people that listen in on the internet, on their time of listening. Uplift them, Lord. Comfort them. Even though they may be thousands of miles away, you love them too, and you have a place for them. Thank you, Lord, for the service this morning. We ask in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. 108, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Let's sing the song, and if you are glad about it, let it go. Amen.
I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad.
Yes, amen. You know, the Lord, He gave us a voice and He gave us lips and He wants to hear. Like your wife or your husband, they want to hear you say, yes, I love you. I love this girl down here too, because she's my wife. You know, the Lord wants to hear from us, from our heart, from our lips. Praise His glorious name. Let's sing number 429. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning.
Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp. I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning.
Church either. It's down the street. It's at home. I know Pauline does it. She does it when she does the dishes. Even my wife does it. And even I do it. But not out too loud, because my voice isn't like it could be. What it's going to be when the Lord has her. I'd like to welcome Sister Louise here. Sister Roberta, good to see you. It's not that you, but it's just that you're not all here all the time. So we've got to make a special effort to say welcome. The Lord does it. You come in and He goes, praise, praise, praise. He's another one that's come in for us. That's really good. Let's sing number 107. There's a country far beyond the starry sky. There's a city where there never comes a night. If we are faithful, we shall go there by and by. This is the city where the Lamb is the light. This is our history we're going to sing about.
There's a country far beyond the starry sky. There's a city where there never comes a night. If we're faithful, we shall go there by and by. It's the city where the Lamb is the light. It's the city where the Lamb is the light.
And that's a promise. It's going to happen. You may be seated, and the Hughes girls have a song if they would like to come at this time. Just while they're getting ready, we have lunch today as usual after the service, but Howard and June and Lee and Barbara won't be at lunch this occasion because we have a Christmas lunch for all the Searle siblings, our brothers and sisters, and we're going over to Colin's place, and they've come from Taupo and from Whakatane and around Gisborne, and so we won't be there this afternoon. Now, having said that, there will be no 1 p.m. service per se, but if the folks that are there would like to do what suits them to do it over in the room, the hall, you might like to have a time of fellowship and a time of testimonies, just whatever the Lord leads, and just feel free to do that. But there won't be any official meeting here as such. There might be, if you want to use the building, fine, that's good. Thank you, Tim and the... Oh. Some extras in there I wasn't expecting. Was there any other items that I didn't know about? Okay, that was very nice. I didn't know Nika was going to be singing as well.
Louise might have one.
Who?
Louise might have one.
Oh, yes, Louise. Would you have one, Louise? She has. Well, that's very good.
I'll leave the words. Have you got a bubble?
A which? About the notices too, of course, we on Tuesday we have our 7 p.m. prayer meeting as usual, and all are invited. Be good to see people there that don't normally go, but it would be good. Thank you, my sister. For those that don't know, Sister Louise used to live in Gisborne, and we had many songs from her in the past. And your voice hasn't got any less either, my sister. Very nice. Lovely indeed. We're going to pray. And Ross Underwood, we just remember him, who's had a stroke there in Australia. Not a serious one, I gather, but all strokes are serious, I guess, to a degree. But he loves the Lord, and just remember him and his wife, Elizabeth, that the Lord will heal that. And there's a Christine, I don't know this lady, who has a daughter and has serious neck pains and is asking the Lord that she might have a husband. So that's one of her requests before the Lord. And that's the best thing we can do, is bring it before the Lord and believe it. I've actually got a verse here that I was really blessed by, and I thought I would read it. And if Nancy wouldn't mind putting it on the screen, I haven't told her. It's Psalm chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. And they really speak to you at times, and I just thought I'd read this. And it reads, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield." And I thought, well, that is really encouraging. And it says there in the verse 11, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice." And I thought about that. And the point is that we need to, don't show a sad face. Don't be put down. Don't let yourself put yourself down. Rejoice that you are a son or daughter of God. Let them ever shout for joy. And I mentioned before about you've got a voice. Tell people. You've got a good voice. You can sing like Louise and Pauline and others. You know, let it be known through your lips, your voice, that you are rejoicing, because thou defendest them. Let them also have love thy name. Let also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Well, the Lord is the center of all of this. And the point being I'm trying to make is that we ourselves need to have it come from within to without to actually do it. Do you know why? Because all the people that you would speak to and me are not here. We've got to invite them. How do we do it? By going up there and saying, hey, I think you should go to church. No. Just by living the life of a Christian in front of them. Because they're already watching what you are doing. They may have things wrong. They may not understand all. But I know that some people register that that person or that person or this person is doing the right thing. And they want it. They like it, and they don't know how to get about it, go about it. But if they're talking to you, tell them how the lamp got lit. You know, I was reading also, and I wanted to mention that the Lord actually speaks to us in a very definite way, because I've been telling people, and rightly so, that they should read Matthew chapters 23, 24, 25 for the things that are going to happen in this world in the end time. And this is the end time. But then I noticed there, and I read it, and Mark 13, which we're not going to look up, is 99% the Lord speaking to those that want to know. His disciples, he was talking to, and it's very, very necessary that we know what the Lord's saying. Now, if you have a King James Version Bible, as I have, all of that is written in red, 99% of it. And I would recommend that in a quiet time, wherever you are, you go to read the Bible, read Mark chapter 13 and apply your name into what's being said. I mean, I thought I knew a lot of things, but I learned a whole lot more by reading that Mark chapter 13. And I recommend it. And you people that are listening on the internet, watching through up here, I recommend that you read Mark chapter 13. It's talking about what's going to happen in the end time, and I believe this is the end time. Okay, well, let's, I was going to ask for prayer requests. I'm not going to do that. The reason is that if you have a prayer request, you consider it before God. You yourself. Doesn't need us to pray it. We don't mind backing it up and helping you. But it's you and God. That's who it's about. You and God. So as I pray for the ones that weren't here, like Brother Ross Underwood and this lady, Christine, and any unspoken prayer requests that you have in this auditorium. Oh, I'm sorry. There is another one. There is one. I got it here on this phone. And what I was going to say here concerning this, it's really God. Nothing happens to you and around you and for you unless God allows it. But when I'm going to read this out, it's pretty terrible, but good to know that God will undertake. It's hot news from Christchurch today. Prayer request for the Message Fellowship in Central Christchurch. Pastor Graham Harnett has just advised that they have had today a major fire which has destroyed a big part of the building, and certain assets are now history. Understandable, all services are now cancelled until further notice. Also, special prayer for the building accommodation so the saints can continue holding their main meetings. So that's a prayer request for those in the South Island there, for Graham Harnett's church. He loves the Lord, the people love the Lord, and they're our brothers and sisters. So just we'll remember them at this time, and your prayers too, who God knows about. Shall we bow our heads? Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you do. We know, Lord, that things happen that we don't understand and we're kind of surprised. But I did understand that nothing happens to us except God allows it. And sometimes we need to have these sad parts, these things we don't understand. Lord, help us, we pray. We just think of the unspoken prayer requests that people have here in the auditorium and out on the internet. Undertake for them, Lord. They have it in their heart right now as I speak. And Lord, all they need to do is give it over to Jesus Christ. Put that problem at the foot of the cross and let God set it out. A lot of things we don't understand. True, Lord, that's true. But what we do know is that we need to continue to hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what, hold on. God will see us through. Even if it's not now, tomorrow, a month's time, God hears the prayer. If we haven't spoken it with our lips, and I recommend we do, He has read your heart already. He already knows the answer. And He will undertake. Lord, we thank you that you care for us. It's like that verse that I read out, Lord, 11 and 12 there in Psalm 5, Lord. You love us, Lord, and you indicate, Lord, that we have all this benefit if we just leave it to Jesus. We're not gods. We can't do it, but God can. Help us, Lord, whatever our need is. I think of Ross Underwood there in Australia. I know him, Lord, and his wife. Bless them, Lord. Heal them in the holy name of Jesus. And, Lord, this Christine, the lady I don't know, Lord, who has a need for her daughter, Lord, for a very painful neck, and she is looking for a husband. So, Lord, you can undertake in all the things. It might be financial, whatever the need is. We bring it before God, put it at the foot of the cross, and leave it there. Thank you for undertaking. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, let us sing one more, and then Brother Howard will come. It's probably appropriate to the song. Number 198 I'm going to have, "In These the Closing Days of Time." Shall we stand as we sing?
In these the closing days of time, what joy the glory is all before, that soon a wondrous surprise. He shall reign, King of kings and Lord of lords.
You know, it might even be before the end of the year is out. It's that close. But we don't know the time, of course.
I hope it is. I hope it is the end of the year, before the end of the year. We hope your baby's born before then, sister. I believe it will be. God's got a purpose in all things, so may He bless us today. I don't know whether you know that Alaska had a major earthquake. Who knows that? Raise your hand. Did you know that, Tim? I thought I've heard it. 7. On the Richter scale, it was number 7. And when I saw the photographs and the videos, it looked like looking at the movie we have of Though the Earth Be Moved. 1964, there's an earthquake in Alaska that just about demolished Anchorage. Who remembers that?
Yes.
We can play it again if you haven't seen it. And the thing was, Brother Branham was shown a few days before and prophesied, "Thus saith the Lord, judgment shall strike the west coast of America." And a few days later, that place nearly went down. And he made a statement about that. He said, my phone. What are we going to do without our phone, Brother Lee? He said this. He made this statement. When the great hour ever comes, I guess he's saying, the great monster laying up yonder, talking about Alaska, that flipped itself over in Alaska a few days ago, threw its tail up again this morning. And brother and sister, whether you know it or not, we are actually a part of that fault line. That is a ring of fire coming down from the Aleutian Islands, down through Alaska, the Aleutian Islands, and right down through Japan on the Pacific Basin, right down past Australia. They escape it. Comes right down to the east coast of New Zealand, goes right down through New Zealand, goes up across South America, up through Chile and all those places, and right into America and California especially, which Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord, Los Angeles will sink beneath the ocean. You know what? That's going to happen. When God speaks, it will happen. You say, I haven't seen it. Just wait. I hope we're not here when it does, because it won't be very good for us here. And it goes right up past Washington, up to the east, the west coast of Canada, up to Vancouver. Vancouver Island, they say, is under great threat. They think when it strikes, it'll disappear, and it's a big island. And it goes right up to Alaska again. So, brother and sister, we are living in the last days. This is no time to be dilly-dallying around and being casual about things. If you want to see the devastation, have a look on the internet. There's plenty of information. The roads are just go down into the earth. It's a major earthquake fault, and it wasn't that deep either. And to see the people, I saw in a courthouse in Alaska, and it struck, and the people were screaming, and everything was just swaying like the cabinets going like that. I tell you, when God lets loose, the judgment strikes this earth, brother and sister, you need to be in Christ, and that He'll keep us. So these are signs of the times. It's we don't know what it means, but we know enough to know that it's been prophesied to be, and these things are going to happen. As Brother Lee said, if you read Matthew 24 and others, you'll see the end time events are going to happen. Great tribulation, like the world has never, ever seen and shall not see hereafter. That's what Jesus said. So it's a sobering to take inventory, to take check-up, and realize the hour in which we're living. So I was just amazed. You know, Brother Graham Harnett was saying to me this morning, they lost their first church through an earthquake in Christchurch. Then they lost their second place. I can't quite remember what he said about, oh, the council bowled it down and took it out. Became a park because it belonged to them. And now this one has been taken by fire. And one of the brothers said, but we still have the still small voice. Oh, that was a good comment. We still have the still small voice. When the fire, you know, Elijah saw the fire and he saw the earthquake on the mountain and all those things, and then he heard a still small voice. He said the Lord was in the still small voice. And brother and sister, we all need the still small voice to speak to our hearts even today. So may God help us all to be found ready. God saying, hey, wake up. I'm trying to tell you something. It's later than you think. Don't get casual. Be like days in the days of Noah. Knew not until the flood came and took them away. You say, how can that be? How would they not know until the flood came? Noah had preached his heart out for 120 years. It's going to rain. They knew it. They heard it over and over again, over and over. But it took when the time came, they were not ready. And we cannot say we had not been told. So may God be gracious to us here in Gisborne. And to all the brothers and sisters around the world that love the Lord Jesus Christ, to be found ready with their lamps trimmed. Because it's homegoing time. Do you believe this?
Amen.
It's home time. It's home time, brother and sister. Shall we stand for the reading of God's word in Luke chapter 1, verse 26? Sister Leah, it's good to see you looking well. Back on deck. We really missed you. She wasn't too well last week. But the Lord's helped her. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. And I've been there. It's a rundown place. You know, it really is. I won't say why it is, but to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. May God bless his wonderful word. You remember last week, the Lord said to Jeremiah, is there anything too hard for me?
No.
Wonderful. Where's our little sister? I didn't hear a voice. Oh, she heard. Did she say no? Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
She needs more inspiration this morning. But it says here, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Isn't that wonderful? So may God bless His word. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to Thee this morning. We pray, Lord, that You would open Your word to us so simply. And may we understand what the Spirit would have to say to the church today, Lord. We commit this word into Your hands, Lord. How we need Thee, how it takes You to come on the scene. I pray that You'll bless us in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled this sermon, Overshadowed. Overshadowed. And the Bible says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And as a result of the overshadowing of Mary, a life came forth, which was the life of the Son of God. And do you know, brother and sister, putting it in a nutshell, it's going to take the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost on your life before the life of Christ can be seen in you. It's really wonderful. And you'll see how it's just all in there so wonderfully. So the events surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ were not just natural events. They were very much spiritual. And I believe, actually, I want to just go in parallel, these things happen to us as well. Just see the parallel, what happened to Mary and what's happening to us. And from a spiritual standpoint, I believe this is a great lesson to all believers. And we know that Mary, I want you to understand this, is quite important. That Mary was a nobody, a nothing, a peasant girl. When you say, and her name was Mary, that's the first time you hear about her in the Bible. Now people worship her in ignorance. But actually, she was just an ordinary lady, just going about her daily work. There's nothing to do with her. This whole thing was entirely of God. And it's nothing to do with you either. What God does in your life is what He's doing, not what you're doing. I'm going to be a better Christian. Forget it. It takes God to do this. It takes the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost on your life. It really does. And Mary was not trying to be the virgin spoken by the prophet Isaiah, where he says here in Isaiah, we know the scripture, in Isaiah 7:14, which says, Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. And this is a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. She wasn't a married woman, but a little child came on board. And bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's thus saith the Lord. And I've heard different preachers, and Brother Brandon said, you know, little girls going, oh, I'm going to be the virgin. I reckon I'll be the virgin of Isaiah, what Isaiah said. And this one says, I'm going to be the virgin. No, I think the high priest's daughter will be the virgin. No. The fact, when the angel came to Mary, she didn't even understand what he's talking about. It was a great shock to Mary. She was just going down maybe to the well to get some water. And there came the angel. Said, blessed art thou among women. It was a total astonishment to her. She was not expecting this. And she was troubled at his saying. Now, brother and sister, let me say it like this. When the angel of the Lord comes to you and God starts dealing with you, it's going to be troubling to you. We spoke about a sermon some time ago, the troubling of the waters. When the angel comes down and stirs the water, it may be a troubling experience, but good things come out of it. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to say that Mary was greatly troubled at this experience. And that's how it is with you. You say, oh, I'm all right. Everything's just fine with me. Praise God. I'm just going great. Just wait until the angel comes. When the Spirit of God comes down upon you and He starts dealing with you, there's nothing in this world like it. There's nothing in the world like it when you come into the presence of Almighty God. It's nothing like church. Far greater than church. Far greater than praising the Lord and hallelujah and singing. And those things are all great and God's in that. But it's greater than that. When God starts dealing, when He starts stirring up the inside of you, you put away churchianity and start getting close to God. It's going to bring something from you. The life of Jesus Christ. And everyone's going to see it. And I want it. Who wants it? Say amen. May God grant it to us. When God moves in our life, it is His doing. When God starts the work in you, we will be astonished. It may trouble us greatly, as I said before. And the angel said, "Thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee, Mary." Isn't it wonderful He knew her name? Mary. The Lord came to you, He'd say, "Bill." He knows you, Bill. He knows your name. He knows all about you. He knows when you was born. He knows how you was conceived, how you was conceived in the womb. Prophesied that. He knows what we're made out of. He knows everything about your gifts. Because He's put them in you. Gave gifts unto men. God has put a gift in you. Isn't that wonderful? It's nothing to do with you. God put it in there. You know, some people said to me, they said, "Oh, brother, you're really clever playing the piano." I said, "Sorry." I said, "I can't help it." I didn't learn it. It's just in me. I didn't think about it. Sometimes when I'm playing the piano, I'm thinking about what I'm going to preach. Don't let me explain that. But that's the truth. It just comes natural to all you musicians know what I'm saying. It just comes natural. Sister Pauline gets up, opens her mouth, comes out like a little bird. I can't do that. Comes out like a falcon. Because I'm not gifted with a voice. I may be gifted with keys and things, but not with a voice. As Brother Lee's the same problem. But you know what? We're going to have a voice one day. Hallelujah. We're going to shout from the hilltops like Sister Louise. That'll be wonderful. And you know, brother and sister, we need to use the gifts that God has given us. Oh, may God help us to see it's not you. It's all about Him. The God comes to you. He came to Mary. So God's choice of Mary, and it's God's choice of you. I believe Mary was a predestinated vessel of God, and she didn't know it, but God knew it. And you may not know it, that you're a child of God sometimes, but God does. He knows who you are. God knows both of us. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Romans 8, verse 29, we read, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate." So God knew you a long time ago. Before there was an earth, He knew about you. And then He saw you and He predestinated you. That means predestined means to predetermine what you're going to be. Because He saw you. You had nothing to do with this. Do you believe this?
Amen.
Whom He foreknows, He did also predestinated to be conformed to the image of God. Brother Bill, He wants you to be a child of God. He wants you to be conformed to that image. And all of us and sisters, He wants you to be conformed to look like, act like the Son of God. He wants us to be like that. He wants us to do the same works that He did. He has to mold us and conform us and change our nature and our whole being to be like the Son of God. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus was the example. He was the firstborn in the family of God, and you are number 2 and 3 and 4, and all the saints of God throughout the ages are all added to that family list. But He was the first. Jesus Christ was the firstborn among many brethren, and we are part of those brethren. I am. Who do you, are you? We are a part of the brethren. We are a part of the family of God. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. That we might, that, and then he says, moreover, whom he did predestinate. Now I want you to notice the he in here. He. No use. It's all about he. Moreover, whom he did predestinated, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them also he glorified. Hallelujah! So we glorified, how? By God's choosing. Dear little Mary, just a little, probably had a little dress on, was maybe had a few patches in it. She was a nobody. But God said, Mary, I've got a job for you to do. Mary wasn't saying, oh, I wish I was the virgin of Isaiah. Oh, if I could only be the virgin of Isaiah. She didn't even know what he's talking about. She was troubled at his saying. And brother and sister, when God gets a hold of you, with you with your little patched dress, we may be just a little wretches or nothings. Brother Brian told me yesterday, well, Smith Wigglesworth said we are. You want to hear what it is? We're just a bag of maggots. We're just nothing. A bag of maggots. We're defiled. We're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. We need to be transformed into the sons of God, sons and daughters of the Lord. So he glorified us. It takes us right through, like we said the other day, about the man that picked up the Bible, the precious book. He said, wonder what happens. What happens in here? He said, I'll just go to the back. Oh, here it is. We win. At the end of the story, we win. Because Jesus Christ prevailed and went before us and has gotten us the victory. And if we remain in him, we win. Isn't that wonderful? So we see these things are very precious to us. It says in John 6:44, no man can come to me. No man can come to me. Or woman. Man means humans. No man can come to me except, there's one exception, the Father which hath sent me, draw him. Now, Mary wasn't thinking about being a virgin, bringing forth the Son of God. She's going down, maybe with a pot on her head, going down to get the water at the well. She's walking down there, and all of a sudden, there stood a man in a bright garment. He said, Mary, he knows my name, for a starter. She wasn't organizing this. When God moves in your life, he organizes the whole thing for you. You might be going down to the river. You might be going out to the paddock. You might be just out the back shed. And when God comes to you, you know it's God. No doubts. Oh, I wonder if that's the Lord. You'll know it's God. When the angel Lord comes to you, you'll know it's God. Because this is his doings. And so we see that she came down. But something happened here. God chose her. He drew her near him. Spoke to her. Now, I want you to notice something very interesting. Because a lot of people say, I've got the word, brother. Hallelujah, I've got the word. Listen to this. That's very good. Maybe you do have the word. But I want you to listen to something. Mary, the word was spoken by the mouth of an angel to Mary. And Mary heard the spoken word. But listen to this. It took more than hearing the word. It did. Many hear the word in our day preached, but I want to say this, it takes more than just hearing the word. Hundreds of thousands heard Jesus preach, and he was the word in flesh. And at Calvary, there's only a handful. The rest had taken off. The 70 had deserted him. His disciples fled. I want to say that it takes more than just hearing the word, as true as it is. I wonder why that was. Because it takes more than just hearing the word. The Bible says the sower went out to sow seed. Let's read it, and I want to say this. In this story of the sower went out to sow seed, it's speaking of the word of God all the way through. Listen to what it says. Luke 8:11. Now the parable is this. He's giving the interpretation, our Lord. The seed that was sown is the word of God. Right. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil. So they hear the word, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So they heard the word, but didn't stay there. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. Hallelujah! But these have no root. Which for a while they believe, and in time of temptation, they fall away. And they and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, they hear the word, they go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. No life comes forth, although they heard it. There's three of them have heard it and came to nothing. But they that go on, that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Isn't that beautiful? You know what, brother, sister, you're going to need patience in this walk. I want to be changed now. It takes patience. So they heard the word. In some cases received with joy. But as Jesus said, out of the seed that was sown, how many took? 25%. You preach your heart out. And only a quarter of those that heard the word brought forth a life. Now, we'll see something here very clearly. Mary was one of those 25%ers. She heard the word, and she brought forth fruit. What was the fruit? Jesus Christ. She brought forth the fruit. He was the fruit of her womb. He came forth because she heard the word, but something else happened. It takes more than just hearing the word, as we said. We can hear it preached every day, but there's something else. In Hebrews 4:2, for unto us was the gospel preached. Wow, this is it. As well as unto them. But the word preached, listen carefully. Brothers, if you think I'm just making up my mind, just read what the scriptures say. But the word preached did not profit them. Oh, I thought the word does. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it being preached. See, it's more than just hearing the word. We're getting to our subject. So what came after the word? In Mary's situation, her mind was blown away. Absolutely. She was astonished at his saying. What did she say to the word that was spoken? Luke 1:34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now that was a pretty reasonable question, wasn't it? We'll never receive this word with our heads or with our intellect. There's something more. When you hear the prophet speaking, there's something more than hearing in these ears. It's got to be this way. It always has been this way. Remember, this is a process and it must go all the way. We'll see shortly. The hearing of the word is an essential part of that process. For we know God is always works in threes. Who knows God always works in threes? Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. They are the three events that will happen in your life. Again, we hear the word. We believe the word. And then you are sealed in by the Holy Ghost. We first must hear the word, which brings faith. The Bible says that in Romans, we all know it well, 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, what? Hearing of the word of God. But not all that hear the word of God believe. There's something more. Because Mary was a predestinated child of God, which was really wonderful. There's just something about being a child of God from the start. You didn't become a son of God, you always were a son of God. You just found out. It says in Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, the Holy Ghost, crying, Abba, Father. That's because God knew you from the beginning. And before He sent the Spirit, He said, and because ye are sons, God knew who Mary was, and He knows who you are. He knows who I am. And faith was sitting there, lodged in her soul, waiting for the word of God. She didn't even realize this, but it was there. Her intellect was left out in the dark, absolutely left out in the dark. She couldn't figure that out. This is an amazing message this angel's bringing me. She couldn't understand it. She was astonished. Couldn't figure it out at all. Bypasses the brain, I tell you that. When God speaks to you, it goes past here. It goes straight into here. And that God faith in her recognized the word of God. And before she knew it, her heart, not her head, spoke out. And Mary said, in Luke 1:38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Oh, and a beautiful humility straight away. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary couldn't understand. From the mind, she couldn't understand it. But she believed from the heart. Because the very answer she gave back to the angel proved it. Now, how can you understand all your sins have been forgiven? Can you tell me how you know your sins are forgiven? You didn't get it from your head, I'll tell you that. Can you understand how you're already healed? You didn't get it from your head. It doesn't make sense. Can you understand your body will be changed and you're going to be taken up to meet the Lord in the air? Can you understand that? Not with your head, you cannot. What tells you that the coming of the Lord is right at the door? CNN? No. CNN doesn't tell you that. I'd be against that. What tells you that the coming of the Lord is at the door? We said this morning, the big earthquake. These are big signs, flashing lights. Get ready. We're getting out of here soon. It'll come without warning. Just so wonderful. But by faith, God's faith residing in our soul. And this can only be given by God to His children. In Matthew 13:10, we read this. Jesus said, and the disciples came and said unto Him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Now listen to the answer of the Lord. He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you my disciples, my children, to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto them it is not given. So God gives it to whom he will. That's why people hear the word, but they do not hear. It's terrible when you think about it. Don't judge people that don't understand. Walk, oh, I don't understand. Don't. There's nothing you can do about it. God has to show them. When you get that revelation, it makes it a lot easier. A lot easier. Having ears, they hear not, the Bible says. So Mary heard the word. Then faith in her received it. But there's something more. And this is the final part of the process. I want you to listen. She hears the word. She doesn't understand it. This is all foreign to her. And then something in her heart says, I believe that. But there's something more has to happen. It takes more than just talking about the message. There's something more. Yes, there's definitely something more. When Mary confessed with her mouth, be it unto me according to thy word. That's why I said the other day, it's so important for you to confess. Is there anything too hard for me?
No.
We're getting good at this. We need to keep it going. It's confession of the mouth is what brings God on the scene. And she confessed. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. And God saw that she truly believed it. And the supernatural took place. A little baby was created in Mary's womb. Right then. Who believes these things?
Amen.
Nothing to do with her, nothing to do with men. Didn't need a woman. Didn't need men. God came down and created in her a little tiny baby. Because she said, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel waited until she said that. God was satisfied. And the angel departed from her. When Mary truly believed, the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And drop that child in there. Isn't that wonderful? And what happened when the overshadowing took place? She brought forth the life of Jesus Christ. And brother and sister, when the Holy Ghost overshadows your life, you can hear the words, you can go all the conventions, all that's great. But when you're overshadowed by the Spirit of God, and he quickens that life in you, and you know it's God, something happens inside of you that brings forth the life of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Nothing to do with you. It's all to do with God. We hear the word. We believe the word. Then we're overshadowed. Now I want you to listen. We hear the word like the seed sown. They all heard the seed. They all heard the word of God. That is true. You need to hear the word of God. And when we believe it, then we're overshadowed with the Holy Ghost. That is supernatural. You don't get it in this church in the sense of just coming to the church. You get it because God overshadows you and gives you understanding and quickens his word to you. Something's in the making. Something's turning inside of you. It's God quickening his word, making it alive to you. We have to be quickened according to the word we have heard. As David said in the Psalms, 119 verse 25, he says this, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. It takes the word to be quickened in you. Mary heard the angel's voice. Oh yeah, can't figure that out, but anyway, carry on. And then something struck her heart. as it's got to strike your heart, all of our hearts. I believe this. I just believe this. I don't understand it, but I believe it. And she said, let it be unto me according to thy word. Supernatural came down. Instantly. Who believes that? Yes. Has to. Nothing to do with humanity. It's all to do with God. Quicken thou me according to thy word. That's what Mary was saying. When God sees you honestly believe his word, then comes the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost and the token. No wonder Paul the Apostle said in Acts 19 verse 2, this is what he said. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You believe and then comes the Holy Ghost. You must believe his word and then God sends the Holy Ghost to you. People say, I got the Holy Ghost when I believed. That is unscriptural. You do not get the Holy Ghost when you believe. You must believe, that is true. But when you believe, God gives you the Holy Ghost. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you did the believing? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So this is a process of spiritual process that takes place, and Mary played it out wonderfully, or God did through her. Sent an angel down. She heard the word. She believed it, but then she confessed, be it unto me according to thy word, and down came the Holy Ghost and overshadowed her, and she brought forth the life of Jesus Christ. And brother says, you could hear the word say, hey, praise the Lord, hallelujah, it's a great word, brother, keep it going. It's got to be more than that. It's got to quicken in your heart by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has to overshadow you and quicken the word that's spoken, and then the supernatural takes place. You are filled with the Holy Ghost and you bring forth what? The life. And it's the life of the Son of God. It's Jesus Christ again living in you. Praise the Lord, somebody say. Isn't it wonderful? I love Mary. She's completely out of it. All she held onto was a water pot. She's had a water pot when she's torn the angel. Maybe she put it down, I don't know. This is all new to her. And it's new to you. When you meet God, it's all new to you. But I will tell you what, it'll change you completely. And you're a new person and you bring forth the life of Christ. You don't say, I go to the Gibson Christian Fellowship, has nothing to do with it. It's whether you've received the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit to quicken that word in you. She brought forth a life. I think that's so wonderful for all to see. The wise men, the shepherds, they saw the life that came forth. Why? Because she was overshadowed. And it quickened the word that the angel said to her. Quickened it. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. And she said, I receive it. Be it unto me according to thy word, angel. The Holy Ghost came and anointed her and put a baby inside her womb. And then, in due time, in the course of time, she brought forth the life of Jesus Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, when God comes into you, you're going to bring forth the life of Jesus Christ for all to see. And it may take a little time. Some people say, I want to be changed now. No, sometimes it's a process. It took her 9 months. Just in the natural. And brothers and sisters, in the spiritual, some people change instantly. That's true. But others, it takes time. God's working on you. He's preparing you for the coming of the Lord. So there's no other way for the life of Jesus Christ to come into you from you. We've got to have that overshadowing. If you just come to church, sit down and say, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I believe Brother Branham's a good man of God, you know. It's got to be more than that. You've got to be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Your husband can't do it. Your wife can't do it. Your children can't do it. You've got to have your own experience. We hear the word. We believe it. But there's something more. I just want to read you a few things Brother Branham said before we close. He said, look, some of you, see, you cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost without having the experience when it comes. Mary knew she had an experience. When that baby was born, there was no doubt that a life had been put in her. And here it was. The precious Lord Jesus. Our sacrifice was born. This is a phenomenal, wonderful, glorious story. See, the Jews wanted a king. We want a king to rule over us, not the Romans. They wanted a king. God gave them a baby. And that baby was our Savior. And Mary was holding the Savior of the world. What a privilege. Who would have liked to hold him? I want to hold him now. It's not just holding a baby, he can come inside of you. As the Holy Spirit, he comes inside of you, our Savior. When you believe his word and he quickens your word, then he overshadows you with the Holy Ghost and you're filled with the Spirit. He goes on to say here, now if you believe, he says, Brother Rand says, if you believe every speck of the word, he says, you say you believe every speck of it, then the word is laying in there, like it was in Mary, waiting for the Holy Spirit to put it to work. But it takes the lighting of the candle. No matter how perfectly the candle is, how perfect it'll burn and everything, it's got to be lit. Your little light has to be lit. My candle has to be lit. And then it burns, he says, and when you believe, you're made up of all the distractions of what the Holy Spirit is, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, and the fruits that bear it out, until this Holy Spirit, with a fire experience, comes down and lights that candle, then you haven't received the Holy Ghost, see. You've got to have an experience to have the Holy Ghost. Not just, oh, I believe the word, I believe the word. So do the devils. The Bible says they believe and tremble. He says here, but Mary, with that baby in her arms, didn't make any difference what they thought. She knew whose son he was. Oh, hallelujah. She knew it wasn't her son. She had nothing to do with it. She was an incubator, as Brother Brandon put it. She actually was an incubator. We know the blood comes from the male and the egg comes from the woman. None of that took place. It was supernatural put inside of her because she's overshadowed. He said she knew whose son he was. So does every believer that accepts God's word into their heart. They don't care what the systems say. You know what it is. It's promised of God. It was revealed to you by the Holy Ghost when you were overshadowed with his power. That's it. You're not talked out of it. No one can talk you out of it. You know. He overshadowed you. And you know what's inside of you. It's the life of God in you. Isn't that wonderful? Who loves the Lord?
Amen.
It's just so beautiful. Then he says, God, give us some more Marys around Phoenix here that can take God at his word. And start rejoicing before anything happens. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe she didn't feel anything. But she rejoiced because God had overshadowed her. And she knew it. And that's what you need, he said. That's all. For she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost truly overshadows a person, they take God as his word. That settles it, what the Holy Ghost said. Who believes he's alive this morning?
Amen.
Who believes he can do anything?
Amen.
So let us ask God for the overshadowing of his Spirit this morning. We need it in this day, brother, sister. We need it. This is the thing you need above everything in this world. There's an overshadowing of the Holy Ghost in your life. It's more than just believing his word. The word must be overshadowed in you, quickened, made alive. You read, oh, Jesus died for my sins on the tree. Oh, Jesus died for my sins. Oh. When he quickens that, it's precious to you that Jesus died for you and took all your sin upon himself. When that's quickened and you believe it, the Holy Ghost is coming upon you. Isn't that wonderful? Say praise the Lord, somebody. You're allowed to say praise the Lord in the church? You people out there, scream if you want to. Because we believe it. The word must be overshadowed in you. The word seed planted in you must receive the quickening of the Holy Ghost. And in close with this quote, he says, and the Holy Spirit returns upon his church, upon his believer, and it's a token in these last days. It's a token. That gets you out of Egypt and into the promised land. You'll pass over the man or the woman, he says, that's accepted the death of Jesus Christ as their substitute. And the Holy Spirit bears record that you believe it. That he bears record in you that I'm a child of God. Sons of God, march forward in the power of the Savior's name. Don't you love the Lord? Who wants to be overshadowed this morning? You know, brother and sister, you just have to be like Mary. You don't have to be some great person. You might be just a little sister with a patch on your dress. She's just a little peasant girl. Maybe she, brother, she might have been just 15, just 16, just a young kid, just a young girl. She didn't know what was happening, but when the angel of God comes to you, you know everything straight away. You know God's dealing with you. You know it's time for you to enter in. It's time for you to receive the Holy Ghost. And you know what? When God comes to you to give you the Holy Ghost, you know what? He's going to give it to you. He will. He doesn't start a job and not finish it. When he wants you to receive it, he's going to come knocking at your door. He's going to come to your house. He's going to come down your driveway. Come into your room. And he meets with you. Don't you love him? Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we just stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, we come to thee. Lord, with very grateful hearts, Lord, that the Holy Ghost has been sent to the church and that you overshadow every believer that believes your word. And Lord, the word of God is already in our hearts. The seed of God is in us. That's why we receive the word of God. And then you confirm the word. And you fill us with the Holy Ghost. As Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Lord, we believe and we're expecting and believing that you will fill us with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I just pray that you'd cause every person to lay hold on eternal life. Lord, bind it about our necks. Lord, cast all our care upon you, knowing that there's nothing too hard for thee. You're able to do it, Lord. And we believe you. And we confess that we are the sons and daughters of God. Not because we were good. We may be just peasant people. But Lord, you're here to confirm it. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless everyone. In the name of Jesus. Bless every heart, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you, dwell in you. Body, it's going to produce something, the life of Jesus Christ. You don't have to work it up. Did Mary have to try and work up the Son of God? Oh, I think I'm going to work this baby up. No. The life is there and brought forth. If God gets in you, you don't have to work anything up. It's going to come forth. People can see you're a real Christian. You're a real believer. You know what you're saying. You believe what you say. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you. anything. Brother Branham said, when he comes, you'll be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. That's a third of a second. It's so fast, you won't have time to blink. You don't have to do anything. If he's in you, you're going to be changed. The resurrection's already resting in you. That's why it's so important to be overshadowed with the Holy Ghost. Let's sing this again, and then we're going to ask Brother Lee to come and close in prayer. If the same Spirit that raised my father dwell in you, dwell in you.
Don't even have to worry about it, but we should be concerned about it, that that Spirit is there and alive in you. I'd like to sing one more. It's number 476. If you know the Lord, you'll need nobody else to see you through the darkest night. If there's any doubt there, don't worry about the doubt. Just face the doubt and put it in the foot of the cross. If you know the Lord, you need nobody else to see you through the darkest night. You may walk. Lord Jesus, that's true. We need the Lord. And Lord, it's you that's trying to find us. If we're one of yours, Lord, we should just feel that still small voice, not in our head, but in our heart. We need to do something about it. For those that are not quite sure, just let them know, Lord, that they can be sure. If they just let that commitment move forward, to give room for the Holy Spirit to move in their heart. Bless all those, Lord, that are here in this auditorium. Bless all those, Lord, that are listening in on the internet at their time of listening. You love them just like you love us, Lord. And you are the whole picture. We're so very grateful for it, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the luncheon that we're going to have and the fellowship, and ask you to bless those that are going to be there. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'll ask Brother Tim if he wouldn't mind locking up for me today, because I won't be here to do it. Thank you. You are dismissed.